What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, folks. Welcome back. We are here at the East Jefferson YMCA with Primary Care Plus, celebrating Healthy Aging Month and Senior Day. And the guy next to me is probably responsible for me feeling about 6 years older today. part of the problem, folks, is he's from Philly. Yeah. He's an Eagle fan. I don't know what to do with this. But he has been here 13 years, and he did point out to me that it's easy to be a Philly, an Eagle fan and a Saints fan at the same time. So I guess we'll give him some space on that one. But he's young as well, right? So, all right, Doc, I'll put you on the spot. Go ahead, tell the truth. You had a good Sunday.
I did. I can't deny that it was enjoyable. But that's the thing, you know, when you're an Eagles fan and a Saints fan, no matter who wins, I'm happy.
You were a winner, right? The fix was in for you, right? No, but Doc, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, folks. Many of you are probably saying, "How did he end up back down here in New Orleans?" Well, you know, like everything else, you marry a girl from Louisiana, you're not going to live a very long. You're gonna be lured back one way or another, especially if your wife was raised below the I-10. Mm-hmm. The women that were raised below the I-10, there is no leaving. I mean, it's like a gill net. You're not getting any. You're not getting out. You're not getting north of there for a certain. But all kidding aside, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get into the health and aging topic, tell us about your experience with Primary Care Plus as a physician.
Primary Care Plus has been a phenomenal place to work, and what really drew me there was the fact that they really go out of their way to support and foster the patient care provider relationship. When I'm able to see my patients for at least 30 minutes and have that rapport and learn about their problems, learn about their family, that, you know, sets us up for success, sets us up for long-term care, for us to build that relationship and for them to trust me, for me to trust them. If I say, "Hey, you're taking your medicine," and they say yes, I'm more likely to trust that. And they're more likely to say, "Hey, I think you would benefit from starting this medication, or you would benefit from this study, this imaging." You know, and because of that relationship, you know, we're able to catch things, treat things, and you know, avoid things, and make sure that everyone has long, healthy lives. And Primary Care Plus has been awesome for really fostering that.
This is going to be a little bit of a weird question, but you look relatively young.
I'm relatively young, yeah. That's a fair
so
way to say.
So I asked the question this way for a reason. I mean, obviously you made a decision you wanted to go to medical school.
Yes.
And I guess everybody has a vision of how that practice of medicine is going to work. Mm-hmm. What's your experience with Primary Care Plus close to the way that you envisioned it? You know, it's always a lot more aspirational and you know, in nature as to how it's going to work. And a lot of folks come out and there's a sense sometimes of disappointment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when I hear you all talk about this model, I mean, you got a big smile on your face. It's almost as if this is exactly what I had envisioned it to be.
Honestly, it really is. One of the interactions that kind of pushed me towards medicine was I had a great primary care physician when I was younger, much younger. And one of the first visits I had with him as a teenager, he was kind and caring and very thorough. And he spoke to me, and that conversation stuck with me for years. And so when I decided to go to medical school, I was looking for that. And Primary Care Plus has really mirrored that interaction and fostering me to be able to have that time to be thorough and caring to my patients. And so it really actually has helped me live up to that kind of, you know, image I had of the practice of medicine.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of curious. You're at the Metairie Clinic on Houma Boulevard.
That's right.
How's that experience been for you?
It's a great clinic. It's very nice. The rooms are, you know, efficient for me to just do my exams or just to have a conversation. And we're well equipped with, you know, great staff who each of the physicians have their own support staff. And so when you call in with an issue and you want to talk to your care team, there's a lot of people who can answer the phone and answer those questions, get things done, get your prescriptions filled, and make you feel really heard and taken care of. And the whole facility is set up to really manage those interactions.
And it kind of makes your job easier, right? When you're surrounded. No, but I mean it in the real sense, because it's important, because you get, that's the only way that you're able to spend that extra time with the patient.
You're 100% right. Having such, you know, careful and caring and, you know, competent support staff, they're able to take care some of that stuff off my plate and let me focus on the actual medical care aspect of it. You know, making sure that those patient visits are you know, quality time.
Right. So let's talk about healthy aging. I mean, I guess that's a little art and a little science, right?
It is a little art and a little science. There's always new science coming out towards aging. Aging well, avoiding the kind of classic pitfalls of aging that we're always trying to, you know, optimize your health as you get older. But it's also, the art is the fact that it's so individualized. You know, that relationship between you and your family and you and your care provider, you need to find the things that you're able to do to maximize that health. And it's going to be different for everybody. And that's where that art lies. And that's where that relationship lies.
So let's say I'm a 38-year-old, 40-year-old patient. I can't remember that far back, but let's just say that. Is that a worthwhile conversation to have if I visit you as a physician?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 38 and 40 is a really important time in anyone's life for making a truly dedicated decision to focus on your health. That's when a lot of bad habits are starting to show up in your body. That's when maybe you're starting to have that back pain, that knee pain, that shoulder pain. And that's when, if you make a dedicated decision to, you know, be more healthful, you can make those habits then, and that's going to carry you through for a long life. You know, focusing on good, healthy movements, maybe maintaining a good weight, getting your diet correct. If you set that up in your 30s and your 40s, it's going to be a lot easier to do in your 60s and 70s.
Right. And it's something more than just your primary care physician. I think you guys make the observation that it's about your eye doctor, your gynecologist, your urologist, or maybe your dentist.
Yeah.
Because a lot of your health reveals itself with your teeth, right? And gums.
Yeah, teeth and gum health is extremely important. There's a link between gum health and cardiovascular health. So having a healthy mouth is actually helping protect your heart. Having good oral hygiene and good oral health, you are more able to eat all the foods that are good for you if you have strong health and strong teeth. If you're avoiding vegetables because crunching into a carrot or eating an apple is going to cause tooth pain or gum pain, you're not going to eat it. You're going to avoid healthy, fibrous foods, and you're going to focus on soft processed foods, which aren't so great for you in the long term in large quantities. As you said, maintaining those relationships with a urologist or a gynecologist, if you're a woman, are extremely important, because they have very specific problems that they can address that tend to develop as you get older. In men, there's the prostate health that's extremely important to monitor and deal with early on, and with women, you know, there's cancer screenings, mammograms, and issues with incontinence that a urologist is, you know, specifically able to address.
So you want to develop a good, healthy relationship with your primary care provider, and you want to kind of check in periodically on your overall health. But what does that actually mean? I mean, it's a term that's used a lot, but a lot of folks, I don't think, really fully understand and grasp the concept of overall health.
Your overall health is everything you're doing and everything that you can be doing in order to maintain a quality of life for as long as possible. So everything you're doing is your diet, it's your exercise, it's your hobbies, it's your relationships. And then everything you could be doing is preventative health things like vaccinations, routine health screening, a diet and exercise protocols that might help you. And it's also those relationships with specialists. If you're someone who needs to see a cardiologist or a pulmonologist or a GI specialist, and you're going and you're seeing them, but you're not understanding what they're saying to you, a primary care doctor can really help break those more complex issues down for you so you feel more connected to your own health. And that's why maintaining that primary care relationship is super important.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll continue this conversation with Dr. Joseph Romito, Family Medicine, Primary Care Plus. And I will remind you, he is a huge Eagle fan. And I also want to tell you, he's wearing green. He's, just little subtle things here, that are being revealed. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Dr. Joseph Romito, Family Medicine with Primary Care Plus. We've been talking about healthy aging. So, Doc, what would be tip number one?
Tip number one, I'm going to say, is that you're going to want to make sure that you're keeping your mind active. That's focusing on hobbies and activities that require you to think in new ways. So puzzles are awesome, but it's also, as you're getting older, it's not a bad time to pick up a new hobby. Learning a new language is a great way to really, flex the mental muscles and keep them active and healthy.
That would be tough. I butchered the English language.
Yeah, I do too sometimes.
But you don't have that Philly accent, Doc. I'm going to be honest with you.
Hey, the longer you're down here, the more you lose it. But if I spend a minute and a half with my dad, it comes back.
Comes back right away.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And when you go back, you bring a black and gold shirt for him to wear.
I don't know if he would mind it. He loves coming down here. He might not wear it at the bar, but he wouldn't mind the shirt.
So obviously you want to keep your mind active. That's one of the things that they talk about a lot here at the YMCA, right? Mm-hmm. Having a healthy mind. What would be the next most important tip?
The next thing is you're really going to want to focus on exercising your body. So you're going to want to do activities that are keeping you mobile. And do you need to run an ultramarathon? Do you want to focus on things that are going to strengthen your legs especially? You're going to want to strengthen your balance. And so focusing on activities that you can do that are low impact are going to be great. Things that people tend to miss is actually focusing on resistance training. That's weightlifting. That's for women, men and women. Resistance training is great for keeping your muscles strong, keeping your balance good, and also it can help with bone health.
This is going to sound a little strange because I don't really know how to ask the question. So if you go out and you work in the yard and later on that afternoon you have three or four different areas of your body that feel strained, mm-hmm. is that a pretty good indication that maybe you're not exercising enough of your body?
I think that's a good way to think of it. If you're getting strained from doing a kind of mild activity, then those are areas which you can focus on doing more dedicated exercise routine. If you're noticing lower back strain, if you're noticing knee pain, there are exercise low impact dedicated exercises you can do that will help improve those areas, strengthen them up, and reduce that pain.
And if you have an affliction. So let's just say you have diabetes. There are certain things that actually probably heighten the importance of that concentrated exercising, right?
Absolutely. So diabetes and high blood pressure, we know that with diabetes at least, if you can build muscle, if you can actually start building muscle back up, that has a dramatic effect on blood glucose because muscle absorbs that glucose from the blood. If you give more muscle to your body, you give it more targets for that glucose to be taken up into, and so it can help lower your glucose levels. And then with high blood pressure, if you can improve your cardiovascular health with cardiovascular exercise, things that get your heart pumping into that 120, 130 range, it can really boost your health going forward, and reduce those risks of things like heart attack and stroke.
The Department of Health and Human Services recommends 150 minutes a week. When you think about it, that's not much, right?
It's really not. That's 30 minutes 5 days a week, and it's good to kind of stretch it out over across multiple days because you don't want to go too hard at the gym, feel bad the next day, and then skip. So if you stretch out 30 minutes every day for 5 days, that's great. And moderate exercise is not till you're sweating and can't breathe. Moderate exercise is that 120 to 130 heart rate range. You should be able to have, a conversation while you're working out at that speed.
I guess people ask you all the time whether or not walking would fit the bill, or fast walking or whatever for, 30 minutes or an hour trek.
If the only thing you can do is walk, then walk. Absolutely. If you can pick up the pace a little bit, if you can get it to more of a quick walk, a speed walk, then that's a little bit better. If you can walk up a hill, I know there's not many down here, you can walk up a hill or walk upstairs, that's going to be a little bit better because we do want to get that heart moving a little bit more than what you get at a slow, sedate pace. But if that's the only opportunity you have, then I full endorsement for walking.
I see a lot of people avoid an elevator and they say, I'm going to take the steps. It's two floors, I'll take the steps. Worth it?
Absolutely, yeah. Any small little things you can do to increase your daily exercise is great. As long as it's not straining your knees, and as long as you're not in pain from an activity, then I endorse that. And yeah, taking the stairs every time can be a way that adds up.
And if a patient visits Dr. Joe Romito with his Eagles jersey on, I mean, would it be worthwhile them asking the question about, exercising?
Whether or not I'm wearing my jersey, it's still
I'm wearing him out, folks. I'm wearing him out. This is exercise for him.
It is. It's got my heart racing. It is a great idea to ask your primary care doctor about exercise. They might have things that you haven't thought about focusing on, ideas that can be useful to target those areas that might be weak. We know that strengthening your lower legs and your balance is something that will actually improve your longevity and reduce risks. And doctors might know some things that you didn't about good healthful exercise.
So we've talked about a healthy mind, a healthy body, And I know category number three is going to be probably the toughest here in the New Orleans area. I know you guys from Philly think y'all have good food. Y'all don't know what good food really is until you visit New Orleans. That Philly cheesesteak is a make-believe poor boy. But I got to imagine healthy eating is tip number three, right?
Healthy eating is definitely tip number three. And down here, you're right, it is hard. There's a lot of great food in Louisiana, but not a lot of it would fall into the health food category, I'll say that. But a focus on a varied, nutrient-dense food that's, really focusing on whole foods. That's vegetables. That's your lean cuts of meat, avoid the heavy fats, the heavy starches. But that doesn't mean, you can never have rice again. It just means that when you're making your plate, that you focus on a good balance that is a little bit heavier on the vegetable side and a little bit lighter on that processed, refined carb side. And if possible, work on avoiding the sweets, work on avoiding the candy and things like that. But does that mean you can never have dessert again? Absolutely not. It just means that the vast majority of your diet should be good, wholesome, for various foods.
When we talk about healthy foods, a lot of times we never talk about what we drink. I actually gave up soft drinks 29 years ago.
Congrats.
It was the last time I had a soft drink. And it was all because I had a bout of vertigo. And we couldn't figure out what was causing it. And the doctor asked me, he says, "What do you drink?" I said, five or six Cokes, maybe three or four glasses of iced tea. Who knows how many cups of coffee? I was a typical cop then, right? And he says, "Why don't we cut the caffeine out and see what happens?" And I'm telling you, I had the DTs for 2 weeks. And it felt like someone was driving a stake through my head. The headache was so bad. And I've not had a soft drink. I have one cup of coffee a day. And I really believe that drinking as much water that I drink today has made all the difference in the world as it relates to my quality of life. But we don't talk about what we drink very often.
We don't. It comes up in, when I have a patient and we talk about diet, I do try to bring it up because it does seem to be a black spot, a little kind of hidden area in our diet. But yeah, focusing on water should be the majority of what we're eating or what we're drinking. Tea, coffee, they can be things that we supplement it with. And if you're a coffee drinker, try to limit it to one, maybe two small cups. And if you are putting anything in it, it should be try to avoid big heavy cream filled drinks.
Fat milk or something like that.
Low fat milk. If it tracks with your beliefs, an artificial sweetener, a non-digestible sweetener can be useful for knocking out the bitterness but enjoying the coffee,
right?
Avoiding soft drinks. That's the thing, is that when people drink soft drinks, sometimes they really drink them as if they're drinking water. They're slamming them down. They're chugging them. If you have a soft drink and you enjoy it, then be mindful about it. Pour it into a glass, sip on it, and enjoy the drink rather than actually chugging it like it's a bottle of water.
So let me ask this question, and again, another weird question. You wake up in the morning. What should you drink first? If you had should it be that cup of coffee? I know a lot of people that wake up and drink a Coca-Cola. And I know very few people that wake up and drink a glass of water. What would be the preference?
If I had to offer an option, I would say water is almost always your best first choice. If you went to bed a little under volume, then you didn't drink while you were asleep, so you're still even more under volume when you wake up. So replenishing your body's volume with pure water is a great thing to start your day with. And then if you do move on to a coffee, at least your body has been rehydrated to a certain extent. A Coke, I would maybe avoid it just because, you should be focusing on those nutritious calories in that with a good breakfast rather than, the calories you would get from a full sugar Coke.
You just talked about sleep. I happened to read several articles a couple of months ago about sleep and really had no idea just how important that truly is for overall health.
Yeah. sleep is essential.
It's not necessarily the duration, but the quality of the sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want good quality, deep, restful sleep. That is, 7 to 8 hours where you're not waking up, you're not moving around, you're not jostling around on the bed. And that has been directly tied to improving cardiovascular health, long-term life, your daily energy, memory, all that with good, healthy, restful sleep is going to improve. A lot of people do struggle with sleep, and there's the tips that your doctor can give you. There's things that you can work through with them to really optimize your sleep, and that could be changing your mattress, making sure your bedroom is, optimized to avoid distractions. Avoiding using your phone in bed is another big one. Everyone does it, but we should really all be avoiding it.
Yeah, the brain needs to check out, right?
Exactly. And that bright light, it's stimulating to your eyes. You really want to do something that, bed should really just be for sleep.
Is it worthwhile videoing yourself to see yourself sleeping? Is there value to that? Kind of curious.
I wouldn't necessarily say, for everyone that there would be an immediate value. If you're someone who sleeps alone, doesn't have a partner, and you're concerned that you are having episodes of apnea, I would talk to your doctor and see if you could set up a more formal study.
Right.
If you're worried that you have, if you're a sleepwalker or having night terrors, then that might give you a forewarning about it. But if it's something that's truly concerning, talk about it with your primary care doctor, and you can kind of come up with a game plan on whether or not you need a more thorough evaluation.
So I have to imagine all the other tips are all those bad things, right? I like my wine. And I'm sure that you're going to tell me, Newell, that's fine. Just do it in moderation, right?
That's the general rule we stick to. I mean, we all, know at this point that alcohol is bad for us. It's not a good thing for our bodies to have, but we've all kind of gotten used to it, especially in Louisiana. We enjoy our wines and our cocktails.
Oh, but not in Philly, right?
No, we also enjoy our beer up in Philly. Yingling's the oldest brewery. We know it, but there's things that we can do in moderation, not every day of the week, and try to limit it to, two if you can, because that has been shown to not be as damaging as someone who's engaging in significantly more drinking.
Yeah, absolutely. The same thing I'm sure goes for smoking. I mean, we've heard about that for
That one we can be even more brusque about. Yeah, no smoking is about as wholehearted an endorsement with a medical establishment can have is just no smoking.
Because the medical evidence is over the top, right?
It's overwhelming. The cancer risks from any form of tobacco consumption are just well established at this point. Cigarettes getting into lungs, worsening lung cancer. Pipe tobacco or cigars worsening for mouth cancer. And then even if you're someone who's like, oh, well, I just I do vape, and it's nicotine. Nicotine is something that can raise your cardiovascular risk, heart attack risk, stroke risk. So even without the carcinogens that we know of from tobacco smoking, nicotine itself is raising those risks.
I was always amazed at how people convince themselves that vaping was better than smoking a cigarette.
Well, it's not smoke, but it's still something, and we also don't know.
It's a foreign substance in your body.
Correct. Right? And we don't know what the long-term ramifications of getting that into your lungs
are. Because I haven't done much studies.
It's all fairly new. Yeah. It's all fairly new.
With a lot of other issues as well. But the final thing is I guess, healthy living, I would suspect, dictates healthy balance in life, right? I mean, you can't sweat the small, the small stuff.
You can't sweat the small stuff. It is about finding your balance. Your balance might be different from someone else's balance, but I think that there's something to say that as we move through life, we should focus on something that keeps our mind active, our body active, and our social kind of heart active. We want to be around other people. Now, that might be once a week. event for you, and other people might need it every day, but we should always be surrounded by people and socializing, because that keeps our brain really healthy. It keeps reduces, you know, those chances that you can kind of fall into those things like a depression. And so, you know, that's something that maintaining those social networks as we get older is also essential for your health.
You know, it occurred to me as we talk through these things, it's really not that hard. I mean, it can be if you focus too much on it, but if you kind of diminish some of this a little bit at a time, it's not that difficult to do so.
I would say that a lot of the things that we're talking about are things that we kind of all want to do to a certain extent. I think everybody wants to be able to be active. They want to be able to walk up and down stairs and not be out of breath. They want to be able to lift up a bag of groceries and not have it hurt their back. These are all things we want. We want to be able to be active and mobile. And maintaining that feels a little bit like work. But if you look at it as something that's you know, preventative, that's making you strong, it can be a little bit easier. And diet, same thing. We want to be healthy. We want to make sure our hearts are healthy. And so, yeah, we have to avoid the sweets. We have to avoid the processed foods sometimes. But if you focus on it as a whole, as a lifestyle, you know, there's a place for those things, and you can find that place, but also tons of other things that are enjoyable.
Real quick, Doc, final thoughts?
Make sure you really get a great relationship with your primary care doctor. They're your home base. They're helping you make all those great decisions with other doctors, with your family, with your friends. And they're going to be, you know, kind of an advocate for you for a long time going forward. So if you have a great relationship with them, then, you know, that sets you up for success.
We're visiting Dr. Joseph Romito. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. But, Doc, go ahead. Just one final thing. You can say it. Go Saints.
Go Saints.
There you go. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.